Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. How y'all doing today? Let's give the Lord a big hand today. Hopefully worship was great in all your campuses. Come on. Can I ask all y'all to stand up? I want to say welcome to all our campuses, all the people watching online, and let me encourage all of y'all in all the campuses as well to place high value on your worship time. I know, getting through traffic and all that stuff is somewhat challenging if you come right on time, so come a little early so you can get the worship. It is so important for us to worship God for our heart. Amen? It conditions our heart to hear what God's going to say to us and carry us through the week. And I would also encourage you in your house, turn worship music on in your house every day. Just get that running through your brain because the devil's trying to renew your mind with all the garbage. And so I just challenge you in that and think about that. Just turn a little, you could even do instrumental worship. I do every morning, just turn on and, pray to that. And you'll be amazed at what God does in your life. Amen. We want to welcome you to church. I'm Miles McPherson, Pastor of the Rock, and we're going to get it on today. Hey, come on now. By a show of hands, how many of y'all come to church and say, I want God to challenge me in something? Anybody? Okay. I'm not going to ask the opposite, which is people just here because they just want to check the box, but I'm sure some of y'all, that's you. That's great. We're glad you're here. And if you're not perfect, this is the place for you. If you're perfect, you're deceived because none of us are perfect. Amen? So this is the place for you. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, challenge us today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to the deep recesses of our heart. And I pray even when people hear things in their mind that they may not agree with, that you would affirm what is true or not in their heart. Challenge us. We don't want to just spend a couple hours here just to check the box. We want to be better. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, it's on. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. First book of the Bible, chapter 3. If you have children or you can remember being a child, I'm going to describe some situations to you that probably have happened. And if your kids are really young, maybe it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. That a kid comes home and says, Mommy, I'm stupid. And the parent says, Who told you that? I want you to say with me, Who told you that? Another child comes home and says, I'm going to be a failure my whole life. I'm never going to do anything. And the parents said, another young man comes home and says, Mommy, I'm nothing but the N-word. And his parents said, or maybe you're an adult and you are biologically a man and someone has told you you're a woman. And you look in the mirror and you have decided that you are not what you see. Who told you that? Maybe you have a pronoun that is a plural when you are a singular. That you are an individual and you refer to yourself as they, which is multiple, or them. You need to ask yourself where you get this from. You may be right. You may be wrong. But you need to know from where all this information and perspectives come from. You may refer to yourself as a black person or a white person, when in fact, we are all another shade of brown because we were made from dirt. To make it even worse, the Mexicans are the only ones who got it right. They're brown. It's a joke. I get there's different cultures, but I'm talking about actual color. Whenever we're having conversations in our head, we have to acknowledge that we can think about our thinking. And you can and should question what's going on in your head because you're having a spiritual conversation. Today, we're going to look at a story in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. I think we've been in Genesis chapter 3 for 5 weeks, which is awesome. I love it. It's my favorite chapter of the Bible. But in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are going to say something to God, and he is going to say, who told you that? Because I did not. So you need to know where it came from. And as we're going through the message, I want to challenge you as you're thinking about what I'm saying, disagreeing or not disagreeing, fine, but always ask yourself, where'd you get that? And where did that information come from? And how do you determine whether it's worth listening to or not? Now, I would tell you the ultimate truth is the Word of God and that we should filter everything through the Word of God. That's my foundational truth. So when I hear something, I'm like, what does the Bible say? Which is why you should read the Bible, which is why you should worship, which is why you should spend time in prayer. That is our foundation as believers. That's why we're here. And so if you have that foundation, because and you may say God has some antiquated, outdated principles, well, you have to understand God is eternal. He's not old. He's eternal. So he doesn't change, same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He understands tomorrow and yesterday. We don't. And so his word, yes, it's eternal. It's not ancient. It's not old-fashioned. It's eternal. And so we can trust it. And so as you're going through today, I'm going to challenge you in some of the things that you think about yourself. Because Adam and Eve are going to say something about themselves based on an accusation that the devil made against himself. And God is going to say, who told you that? And if you can question your thinking all the time, listen, someone can come up to you and say, hey, you are so awesome. You are so awesome. God, what is going on with this? Because that's not always good. Can I get amen? Because people will tell you what they want to hear. And so you always want to be, Jesus said he did not trust man because he knew what was in man. In other words, they were saying, Jesus, you the man, you the man. He's like, I'm putting it in, 2024. He's like, y'all just stay over there. I know what y'all are about. You're all about kissing up. You're all about trying to get what you want. You're manipulating people. I ain't about that. I'm about my father's business and y'all do what you got to do. That's where he was. We have to step back and always remember our citizenship is in heaven. And heaven has its own rules. And we are aliens on this earth. This is not your home, unfortunately. Our home is in the spiritual realm. And the world is constantly against the word of God and it will be against you. You just have to know that. It's never going to change until Jesus comes back. And by the way, whoever wins the election, that's not the end. The end is when Jesus comes back. I'm not saying don't vote, you should vote, but I'm just saying you got to think bigger than that. So as we look at this message and this conversation we're having today, is we have to always be asking ourselves, who told me that? And who are they? Do they have credibility to have that solution for my life? So let's do a little review. We saw that we are created body, soul, and spirit. Everyone say body, soul, and spirit. The body is our physical body and includes our physical brain and it interacts with the physical world. Our spirit over here interacts with God. And our soul in the middle is your mind, your will, your conscience, your emotions. And ironically, ingeniously, our soul can interact with our body and God. And the devil. The devil can speak to you. The devil can instruct you. He can, when I say instruct you, give you counsel that you can choose to obey or not obey. So our body is with the physical world and it's limited to the physical world. My hand does not have its own mind. And then my spirit interacts with God. And then my soul can interact with the spiritual world, God or the devil. And my soul can interact with my body. So who I am is an invisible, non-physical thing. This is a trip. I don't know what your name is. On the count of three, say your name out loud. One, two, three. Okay, what I heard was rah, rah, rah. So, rah, rah, rah. Whoever you are invisible, non-physical. This is not you. This is the package of you. You are non-physical and invisible, your soul. You have an ability to make decisions. You have the ability to choose to obey God or choose to obey the devil. Those are your two options because everything that you, decision you make and every thought you have is based on information you have received. And so even when we're making our own decision, we're not making our own decision. We're making a decision to side with the Lord. We're making a decision to not side with the Lord. Giving and when God loves us, if we can receive that love, because we can reject it, and then express that love to ourselves and other people, that is the foundation of our relationship. Giving and receiving love is the foundation of our relationship with God and other people. Giving and receiving love, because God is love. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. With all my soul, I need to love God. And then if I love God with all my soul, it's gonna be expressed through my words and my actions and my relationships. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. Some commandments are greater than other commandments. Some sins are greater than other sins. They're not all the same. And then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Today we're gonna look at how the devil is trying to accuse you, to accuse yourself and hate yourself. God said, I want you to love yourself. The devil says, I'm gonna trick you to hating yourself. I'm gonna say it again twice. God wants you to love yourself. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm just all that, you know, just, you know, put petals out for me, don't make it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about loving God. Loving yourself is loving God, which means obeying God. That's what loving yourself means. I have to obey God. That's what loving yourself means. I have to obey God. Loving yourself is obeying God. Because if you obey God, you will get most of God's blessings in your life according to his mercy. If you don't love God, which means you're not obeying God, you're not going to get his blessings. And is it about you getting your blessings? He's your dad. He loves you. He wants to bless you. It doesn't mean make you richer than somebody else. It means that he wants to bless you with his presence, his vision, his purpose for your life, clarity. Okay? If I don't love myself, I can't love you. Matter of fact, I'm gonna love you in a similar way I love myself. If I am critical of myself, I'm gonna be critical of you. If someone is a gossip, how many of y'all know gossips? Okay, let's try this one more time. I know y'all, you're kind of over here and I just kind of switch gears. So let's try it one more time. How many of y'all know people who gossip? Okay, keep your hand up. How many of y'all are that person? Oh yeah, right. I ain't me. I ain't saying nothing. y'all need to repent right now, okay? Okay. You ain't never said nothing about nobody, okay? If people gossip to you, they're gossiping about you. Because that's their language. So I can't, and by the way, if they're gossiping to you, that means if they're pulling somebody down, that means they feel they must. You can't pull someone down unless you feel below them. So something's going on in that heart. So here's the conversation. So Adam and Eve are in the garden. They have a conversation. Everyone say body, soul, and spirit. First, there is a conversation that is always had with the devil. The devil speaks three times in the Bible. He speaks to Eve. He speaks to Jesus, and he speaks to the Father. So he can have conversations with you, him or his demons, and they can whisper stuff in your ear that we're gonna talk about, like, you're no good, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're fat, you're a failure. That's not coming from God. That's a spiritual battle. So number one, there's a conversation in our spirit, in our soul. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? God said they shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden. That's a fact. The devil says, did God really say that? The devil's always gonna put doubt in your mind about everything. You walk into church, yeah, okay, what are they doing? Why are those people up there singing? Why are the lights so loud? Why is the music so loud? What are they doing? It's like, always doubt. That's the devil. And he said, the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not die. God lied to you. For God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this is we've had this the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to rush through it too fast. I don't even know some of y'all heard it before. But the devil says God lied. That's the accusation, that you can't trust God, but you could trust me. Ooh. Please understand this. You have two options. You could trust the devil or you could trust God. Now, if you say, what about trusting me? You're trusting the devil because what you're saying is, I'm not trusting God. Same thing. It doesn't mean you're Satan. It just means you're siding against God. And so what the devil says is God lied to you. Why would God want to prevent you from having knowledge of good and evil? How many of y'all have kids?
There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
How many of you want your kids so bad to be addicted to drugs? How many of you want your kids to experience heartache, the heartache of a broken heart? How many of you want your kids to be beat up? God said, Adam and Eve, I don't want you to experience that. That's what that means. The devil says, nah, I got a better idea. I got some weed. You ain't never felt this before. I got some cocaine, some blow. Let me tell you, I'm gonna take you a place you ain't never been. Exactly. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Look at all these druggies in the area. But that's what he's talking about. So when the devil has a conversation, don't ever believe what he's going to say because he doesn't have your good intent. So first is the conversation. Then there's the accusation. The accusation is that you can't trust God. You can trust me instead. And then there is a validation. The validation comes when you listen to the devil and you go, I'm going to take your advice. I think that you got something here. I think that maybe God has been holding out on me. I think that maybe being a Christian ain't as fun as it's all jacked up to be. I think maybe it's better that I kind of go out a little bit and kind of, you know, test the waters. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Something will die. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Something is going to die. Now, I'm going to make a rhetorical question. Isn't sex beautiful? Maybe I said it too fast. I'm gonna make a rhetorical statement. You can say yes or no. Isn't sex beautiful? Some of y'all are like quiet, like this is a trick question, right? So why does it kill people sometimes? Because it's done wrong. Everything has boundaries. Even in heaven. The Garden of Eden. They're in the Garden of Eden. There's no sin, no death. No sin, no death. No sin, no death. No sin, no death. And then there's rules. You're never going to be any place where there's no rules. My wife and I are celebrating our 40-year anniversary a week from Tuesday. 40. Amen. She's always wanted to go to Italy, so we're going to go to Italy. Guess what? In Italy, there are going to be rules. Just even on vacation. How many of y'all been on vacation? You can't go on vacation and do whatever. Oh, I'm gonna go on vacation. I'm gonna rob a bank. Yeah, I'm gonna rob a bank on my vacation. It's gonna be all good. I'm gonna get the money, then I'm gonna go to the beach. No, you can't do whatever you wanna do, even on vacation. Nowhere ever in your history of your existence will there ever be a ruleless existence. So when you break the rule, something dies. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, so she thought, because the devil's going to reframe the conversation. She took of his fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. Say conversation. That's with the devil. Accusation. He's always going to accuse somebody of something. And in this case, he accuses God of being a liar. Then validation. That's when you sin, which is when you express Satan's influence and nature. Every time you sin, you are expressing and living out Satan's influence and his nature. God made you in his image so you can reflect his nature. Satan wants you to reflect his nature. He's just a copycat. That's it. And then once you do that, the ramification is death. Look what it says, Genesis 3:7. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, I have a theory about how they knew they were naked all of a sudden. This theory is based on Bible insight and biological insight, and I could be completely wrong. But I'm so confident that I'm right, but I could be 100% wrong. Because I don't know. There's a study called biophotonics. Biophotonics is the study of a light coming out of living things. If you go to the store and buy fruit and vegetables that are in the store, that, you know, they put water on them, they put wax on them, make them shine. But if they didn't do that, if you saw fruits and vegetables on the vine or on the tree, it would shine. Can I get an amen? How do you know it's dead? It gets brown and dusty. No more glow. When you see a baby's skin glow. The mascara business is a multi-billion dollar business because it gives women their glow. And then what happens when you die or you get old and crusty? You go to Maybelline and try to get the glow back. Well, I can't do that. I don't do Maybelline. You know what I'm saying? My wife's every night, she's doing her face. She got the whole routine. You know, she got the creams and the lotions and the potions and the smokes. You know, and I'm just sitting there watching her. And then she's like, you know, trying to fly away like a little bird. I don't know what it is. She's trying to get that glow back. So my theory is that Adam and Eve had no sin and that the glory of God was glowing through them so brightly they couldn't see their body. And then when they sinned, something died. That's my theory. It doesn't matter that it's true. What is true, what does matter, is that something happened. There was an appearance before sin, and there was an appearance after sin. And they all of a sudden saw that they were naked. And it said they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord said to Adam, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid and naked." I was naked and afraid. Now, how did they know they should hide from God? How did they know to be afraid? Someone told them. You can't go to God when you sin. You got to hide. He's going to get you. Where did that come from? They had another conversation. When you sin, the devil, here's what the devil's going to say to you. Oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to church. Let's come out to the club. You don't need to, and nothing wrong with the club. It's just what you do in the club. You don't need to not curse. You don't need to not steal. Just take some from the petty cash. No one's going to notice. And then when you get caught, the devil's going to say, oh, I got you. Now you're an idiot. You're going to go to jail. And he accuses you of being guilty. How many of y'all been through a cycle like that? You got talked into doing something. And then when you did it, bam, you were busted. Come on, let's be, this is Sunday morning. Let's be honest, at least on Sunday. Okay, very good, very good, very good. There was a conversation. Look what it says. There was a conversation, and then there was the accusation of self. This is where the devil comes at you. He is going to accuse you of being something different. And his whole goal is to not only destroy your relationship with God, but to give you a new identity that is not loved by God. He wants to give you an identity that is separate from God, so you stay separate from God, because once you have a new identity and you start to convince yourself to live out that identity, he can just leave you alone. You will destroy your own life. Because if you feel like you're a failure, guess what? You're going to act like one. If you feel like you're ugly, you're going to act like one. If you're sad, you're going to act like that sad. If you don't have Christ's identity, you're not going to live it. But if the devil can give you a new identity based on his accusations against you, he'll destroy the rest of your life, and you will stay in that rut. You will come to church. You'll go, oh, man, the word was good, maybe. Oh, the worship was good, maybe. I don't know what whatever your experience is. And you'll walk out of there going, but God's never going to bless me because I'm not blessable. Because that's your identity. You got to break that and realize what the Bible says about you, that God loves you. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. He wants to adopt you to his family. He wants to forgive you of your sin, renew your mind, fill you with his spirit, and anoint your life. So look what it says, Genesis 3:9, the accusation. The Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? Everyone say, where are you? There was a kid in my youth group a long time ago. His name was Danny. Danny was a white kid. Or he wasn't white, I'm sorry. He was clear. He was clear. You could see his veins through his skin. He had, true story, red hair, red freckles. Just picture that, okay? Loved God, was preaching the gospel. I have a picture, 8x10 color picture of me and him, a bunch of kids in Mexico. And he's just smiling, and he loved God, preached the gospel. And then I lost touch with him. Years later, I go to juvenile hall right here in San Diego, Kearney Mesa. I go to juvenile hall. I'm in the room there, in the little day room, and all the guys are coming in. And here comes Danny. Danny, red hair, clear, red freckles, in the Mexican gang. Who told you that would work out? He walks up to the front. I said, Danny, you remember going to Mexico with me and doing ministry? Yeah. You remember being in church? 2 minutes from here? Literally up the street. Yeah. You remember preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel? Yeah. I said, Danny, I'm going to ask you a question. And if you say no, I'm going to leave. I never preach the gospel again. If you say yes, are you better off now than you were before? If you say yes to that question, I'll never preach again. Because I know the answer is true. You're not better off now. This is what God asked Adam. You did exactly what I told you not to do. Where'd it get you? I stood right over here. A woman came to me right over there, standing right there. And that woman is not over there. So I'm just pointing over there because it was over there. But she's not over there. This was years ago. And she says, can I talk to you? I live up the street and my husband's cheating on me. I said, why don't you have him come down and talk to me? The brother came. To his credit. We talked. He goes, yeah, he's crying, blah, 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 blah. I see him like a year later at a convention, literally at the sports arena. So the convention, I happen to be there. And I go, hey, man, what happened? What happened? He said, well, he's crying. My life, I lost my family, lost my kids. He had two daughters, I believe it was. And then he says to me, but I think I made the right decision. Okay. You think, okay. The devil will mess your mind up because factually, families together are better than families apart. This is really not complicated. And then it says, the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? And he says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid and naked because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that? Here's the thing. Adam, who told you that if you sinned, you would have to hide from me? Who told you need to be afraid? Who told you you couldn't come to me and I would love you? This is what the devil's telling you. You can't go to God. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that I'll see them out in the community. Hey, you been to church? Well, you know, I haven't been to church. My life's kind of messed up and, you know, I'm not ready to come back. This is the place to come. This is not a place for perfect people. There's nobody in here perfect. Can I get amen? Y'all should be shouting from the rooftops because ain't nobody perfect. Now, I'm not saying, yeah, I'm jacked up. Yeah, I'm jacked up. But it's like, have you ever gone to the hospital and went to a room to visit somebody and people are in there like playing cards? I'm good, just hanging out in the hospital. No, people in the hospital are sick. That's what the hospital's for. This is the hospital. Right? And so he says, who told you that? It must have been the devil. And the only reason I'm pointing to you with one finger and I'm pointing to myself with three, so don't take it personal. And I'm pointing, you know, I'm just pointing to the people upstairs with my thumbs. So you go. The only reason we do the things we do is because someone told us. The devil. You don't need to believe in God. And then he gives you a new identity. Look at the identity he gives you. I'm not lovable. When you believe that, you will actually do things to prove that. One of the reasons people go back into abusive relationships over and over again is because they, in their mind, are unlovable, so they have to prove it by being unloved by somebody. It's twisted, but that's what happens. The devil can convince you are unlovable. And so someone tries to love you, you will push them away and sabotage the relationship to validate that you're unlovable. And you look, it's like, why would someone do that? That's why. You're unforgivable. I always gotta be wrong. I must have did something wrong. I can't ever forgive myself. Oh, and little things are like giant mountain burdens on you because the devil has said you cannot ever be forgiven. You know, that burden that you're carrying, you need to carry it because you were wrong. And by the way, you were wrong because you did what I said, and he's the one condemning you. Twice, I don't belong. I'm self-rejected. I don't belong at work. I don't belong in my family. No one wants me around. I'm just going to come. Yeah, I got to go, you know. You ain't got nowhere to go, but I got to go. Yeah, I got something to do because I know no one wants me around. That's self-rejection. Self-hate. What did God say? The number one commandment, love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. What does the devil say? I got an unloving experience to reverse that. I'm a victim. Self-pity. Self-pity is someone who always looks in the past at what somebody did to them. And if you're a victim, you always have to have a villain. Without a villain, there's no victim. So you go around looking for victims and making people victims out of people that did nothing to you because it validates your identity as a victim. Oh, are y'all following me? Some of this is y'all only because with a room this size, I'm sure we got all this up in here. I got seven of these myself, so I know we're good. I'm not as good as. I always got to prove myself. I always got to beat somebody else out so I can feel good about myself because I feel so insecure about myself. I am disappointing. I can never get it right. I'm disappointing. I am better than. That's what the devil said. I want to be better than God. You're just mimicking God. I am never right. I am always wrong. I just don't deserve to live. Suicide. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. The devil wants to not only bring death about what you do, he wants to kill you to kill yourself. Now, what do? We got to break these agreements. Now, these are agreements that you make. When you hear these whispers in your head, when you hear these whispers in your heart, and you go, yeah, yeah, you're making an agreement with the devil. You're telling the devil, I'm going to sign an agreement with you to trust you and live the way you want me to live and believe about myself the way you want me to believe and not the way God wants me to believe. So the only way that's going to break is not by you sitting here. Now, that sounds kind of productive. It's not by you sitting here. You got to do something with what you get when you sit here. Step number one. Everyone say, repent. Yes. Say, repent. Yes. Last week we talked about repenting as you're living your life this direction, and repenting says, now I'm going to live my life this direction. You have to say, Lord, I repent, and I forgive me for making an agreement with the devil. I repent of that. I'm walking away from that. The Bible says in Matthew 4:17, from the time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of Satan, which is a kingdom, it's all about death, darkness, lies, and hate. The kingdom of God is all about love, truth, and life. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is stronger than the kingdom of the devil every time. You have authority over the devil. Jesus has given you authority because he died and rose from the dead and conquered death. And death comes from the devil. He overcame the devil, and he's given you that authority in Jesus' name. Amen? So you got to repent. Lord, please forgive me for that, validating Satan's accusations that I am not lovable. Forgive me. All this comes from being unlovable. Forgive me, Lord, for believing that. Everyone say, forgive me, Lord. Because I am lovable. For sure. I want you to yell it out, I am lovable. For sure. Lord, I repent and commit to trusting your word as my truth. Say, Lord, I repent and I commit to trust your word as my truth. And the only way you can do that is if you read the Bible. You have to ask the Bible these questions. What does God think about me? What is God's purpose for my life? Will God forgive me? Will he bless me? Do I have access to supernatural power? Does God hear my prayers? Can I hear his voice? You have to ask these questions to the Bible. Just as I said, who told you? Who told you the good stuff too? God wants to tell you stuff. So everyone say, repent. Say, resist. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold, everyone say the word stronghold. A stronghold is an incorrect thinking pattern. Someone curses at me, I curse back and punch them in the mouth. That's a thinking pattern. Right? If I'm unlovable, my thinking pattern is, I'm looking for who is going to treat me bad. So I can validate that I'm unlovable. If I am self-pity, if I'm a victim, I am always thinking in the past of who hurt me, and then I'm always telling people about it, and I'm looking for more people to hurt me so I can put that in my past because I am a victim. That's a thinking pattern. That's a thinking pattern. And by the way, I'm going to do a series on the brain. I was talking to a brain neurologist the other day about this, and I can't get into it. It's too long, but we were talking about how the brain works, and let me stop because I'm going to get into a story, and it's going to take too long, but it's amazing how your brain can be rewired and teach you how to think and act. And if you let the devil rewire your brain, you will act just like just what he wants. So you have to repent. Now, next you have to resist. Say resist. Yes. Exercise authority over the devil. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. I just read it. You must, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the word of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When thoughts come into your mind, you have to ask yourself, who told me that? Who's telling me? Who's speaking to me? And take it. My grandson's in the fourth grade. I went to pick him up at school the other day. And I go there, and we're walking to the car, and he goes, hey, Grampy, guess what? I said, what? He said, one of my classmates said to me, why is your Grampy so fat? Me. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, he said you were so fat. I was like, all right, so I went again last week, And I told the teacher, because the teacher, she was my son's teacher. So now she's got my son's son. And I said, hey, you want to hear something funny? She said, what? I said, who's that kid? She said, now, I could sit there and go, man, I'm fat. I don't know what I'm going to do. I work out, but I'm still fat. I eat good, but I'm still fat. I could just like go into a hole. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? It is ridiculous, the things you think about and the things you believe about yourself. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the whole world was at their fingertips. And they said, I don't see all that. I just see this one thing I shouldn't do. And they did it. The devil got their eyes off all the blessing. And a lot of y'all, and I say y'all, I'm in the y'all, a lot of y'all, us. God tells, I want to do this in your life. I want to do this in your life. And what do we say? But what about? Who told you that? Who's that coming from? Number three, restore. By the way, how do you resist? Spend time reading the Bible. The word of God is a sword. It's a weapon. Spend time in worship. Worship is our posture because it's a weapon. Spend time in prayer. Prayer is our priority because it's a weapon. And when you get up in the morning, just turn worship music on. You got Siri, you got a phone. Some of y'all got a sound system in your house. Just have worship in your house. And guess what the demons will do? I got that out. Lastly, restore. Restore. Everybody say restore. Once you repent and you start to resist the devil on a daily basis by pursuing God, God is going to restore you to your right place, and he's going to restore you to your right identity. Number one, you're going to go from being unlovable. You're not going to be unlovable anymore. You're going to be, come on, big fella. Here we go. You're going to be, God loves you so much. Come on now. Instead of being unforgivable, you are going to be, God forgives you. Instead of being, I don't belong, God has adopted you as his very own. Instead of being a victim, you're not a victim anymore. God is your defender. Instead of being, I'm not as good as somebody else, God wonderfully made you. You are marvelous. Everyone say marvelous. Instead of being disappointing, you are God delights in me. Instead of being I'm better than, you are God exalts the humble. You don't need to be talking about yourself. Just say, hey, God's going to exalt me if I humble myself. Instead of I am never right, God says, God chose you. God chose you. God designed you. God made you. God had a purpose for your life. And lastly, I don't believe I deserve to live. God says he will give you life and give you life abundantly. Come on, church. So what are you going to do? I'm going to take communion. I want you to listen very carefully. Because you have to make a conscious decision to think about your thinking. I guarantee you 100% before you get to your car, you're going to start hearing stuff in your head. Watch this. How many of y'all have been hearing stuff in your head ever since you've been sitting here? Anybody? Sure. What kind of pants he got on? He wore that shirt like a month ago. I mean, the devil will say anything to get you distracted. And he has a PhD on your heart, on your mind. Why? Because he hears you talk about it all the time. He knows how to trip you up. He knows this kind of stuff you think is juicy to talk about. But we have to say, no, I'm repenting. And we're going to repent by taking communion. But before we take communion, we're going to give you opportunity to ask Christ to be your Savior. If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you don't want to do this. Because when you do this, you're saying, oh, I know the story, I just reject it. So we want to give you opportunity to say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. And then we're going to take communion. And when we take communion, what we're going to tell God is, God, I need you. I need to surrender my life. I can't fight this devil. You can't and never will be able to fight the devil without the Lord. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you have. I know Bible scholars. They pray. Guess who else prayed every day? Jesus. So please don't think you're above him. So when we take communion, we're saying, Lord, just as you died for me, I got to die for you. What does that mean? Body, soul, spirit, I need to lay my life down to the presence of God in my life. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. God wants to transform your life. That is why we do church. God wants to transform your life into something you could never ask or imagine, ever. He made you fearfully and wonderfully you are made. Wonderfully. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And the first, if you've asked Christ, not asked Christ to be your Savior, I'm going to ask you, give you opportunity. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you realize that you are a sinner and you want Jesus to forgive you, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for me. I confess my sin. I commit my life to you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I rebuke Satan from my life. I surrender my life to you. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high, elbows above your ears. I can see you. God bless 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 all of you. We see you all over, all the way up the top, all the middle, down here in the bottom level. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much. For the rest of us, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, pray this prayer with me if you want to cancel these agreements with these accusations that you have with the devil. Pray, dear God, let's pray this out loud. Say, pray, dear God, I trust you. I don't trust the devil. I know he's a liar. I know he's the father of lies. I know he's a murderer. Nothing he has promised has come to pass. He's brought death and destruction into my life. And you have done nothing but love me. So I trust you. I recommit my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising from the dead. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Lord, I thank you that you died and rose. And we take this bread acknowledging that this is your body and that it represents the sacrifice you made for us. In Jesus' name, amen. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, the cup, and said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, the life is in the blood, and you shed your blood for us. Thank you that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.